Now what shall we say, to carry these things home to your hearts? Where shall convincing words be had which may break the hardness of your hearts? It is strange that you are in such a deep dream of delusion, that nothing can awake you out of it. And how little is that in which you have to please yourselves? Some external privilege is the temple of the Lord, His covenant and the seals of it, your ordinary hearing the word, and such like. But are there not many things in your hearts and ways that act the most contradictory be to these that can be? For wherefore do we thus meet together? Do you know an end, or propose any? I scarce believe it of the most part. We come out of custom, and many as by constraint, and with little or no previous consideration of the great end of this work. And when ye go forth, what fruit appears? Your ordinary cultural and civil discourses succeed, and who is it either bows his knee to pray for the divine blessing or entertains that holy word either in his own meditation, or speaks of it to the edification of others? Are you not, the most part of you, that ground of which Christ speaks, that lies in the wayside, and everything comes and takes the seed up? Do you either listen and apply your hearts to a presentness in hearing? Or is there any more account of it, than a sound in the ear or any footstep or impression left in the heart, more than of the flight of a bird in the air? And, alas! How many souls are choked and stifled, the truth suffocated in the very springing by the thorns of the cares of this world, and the throng and importunity of businesses, and earthly desires. How many good motions come to no maturity by this means. How few of you used to pray in secret and dedicate a time for retirement from the world and enjoyment of God. Nay, you think you are not called to it, and if any be induced to it and to public worship in their families yet all the day over is but a flat contradiction to that. What earthly mindedness! What unholiness of affection! What impurity of conversation! What one lust is subdued! What one sin mortified! Who increaseth more in knowledge of the truth or in love of God? Is it not midnight with the most part of you? Oh, the darkness of the ignorance of your minds, by which you know not that religion you profess, more than lurks who persecute it. And what are the ways to which ye walk? Are they not such ways, as will not come to the light, and hate the light, because it reproves them? John 3:19 and 20, and 11:9 and 10. Are they not such in which men stumble, though they seem to walk easily and plainly in them? Yet oh, that everlasting stumble that is at the end of them, when you shall fall out of one darkness of sin and delusion into another extreme, eternal darkness of destruction and damnation. Oh, that fearful dungeon and pit of darkness you post into! Therefore, if you love your own souls, be warned. I beseech you, be warned to flee from that utter darkness. Be awaked out of your deceiving dreams, and deluding self-flattering imaginations, and Christ shall give you light. The discovery of that gross darkness you walked in which you did not see whither you went. I say, the clear discerning of what it is, and whither it leads, is the first opening of that light, the first visit of that morning star, that brings salvation. If you will not be convinced of that infinite danger you are in, yet ye are not the further from it. He that walketh in darkness leave, and see. His strong confidence and persuasion hath a lie, a contradiction in the bosom of it, and that will never bottom any true happiness. It is a lie acted by the hand, the foot, and all the members, a lie against the holy truth and word of God, and the very reproach of the name of Christ, a lie against yourselves, and your own professions, a foul murdering lie, as well as a Christ-denying lie. And this lie, as a holy man saith, hath filled houses, cities, families, countries. It hath even overspread the whole nation, and filled all with darkness, horror, confusion, trouble, and anguish. Once being a holy nation by profession of a covenant with God, and our open, manifest, universal retraction of that, by an unholy, and godly, and wicked conversation, this hath brought the sword against a hypocritical nation, and this will bring that far greater, incomparably more intolerable day of wrath upon the children of disobedience.
Therefore let me exhort all of you, in the name of the Lord, as ye desire to be admitted to that eternally blessed society within the holy city, and not to be excluded among those who commit abomination, and make a lie, that ye would henceforth impose this necessity upon yourselves, or know, that it is laid upon you by God, to labor to know the will and truth of God, that you may see, that light that shines in the gospel, and not only to receive it in your minds, but in your hearts by love, that so you may endeavor in all sincerity the doing of that truth, the conscionable practicing of what you know. And this, as it is a great point of conformity to the light, so it will make you capable of more light from God, for he delights to show his liberality, where he hath any acceptance. Be not satisfied, O be not satisfied, with knowing these truths, and discoursing upon them, but make them further your own, by impressing them deeply in your hearts, and expressing them plainly in your ways. This is pure religion and undefiled, James 1:27. And is not this to know me, saith the Lord? Jeremiah 22:16. Practice is real knowledge, because it is living knowledge. It is the very life and soul of Christianity, when there needs no more but the intimation of his will to carry the whole man. This is what we should all aspire unto, and not satisfy ourselves in our poor attainments below this. Sermon 14, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Art is the imitation of nature, and true religion is a divine art, that consists in the imitation of God himself, the author of nature. Therefore it is a more high and transcendent thing, of a sublimer nature than all the arts and sciences among men. Those reach but to some resemblance of the wisdom of God, expressed in his works, but this aspires to an imitation of himself in holiness, which is the glory of his name, and so to a fellowship with himself. Therefore there is nothing half so high a pattern, or sublime an end. God himself, who is infinitely above all, is the pattern, and society with God is the end of it, and so it cannot choose, but where religion makes a solid impression on a soul,
it must exceedingly raise and advance it to the most heroic and noble resolutions that it is capable of, in respect of which elevation of the soul after God, the highest projects, the greatest aspirings, and the most elevating designs of men, are nothing but low, base, and wretched, having nothing of true greatness of mind in them, but running in an earthly and sordid channel, infinitely below the poorest soul that is lifted up to God. Since we have then so high a pattern as God, because he is infinitely removed from us in his own nature, we have him expressed to us
under the name and notion of light, which makes all things manifest, not only as dwelling in an accessible light, that is in his own incomprehensible, ineffable essence, even before this light was created, for he is in the light, and was in the light, when there was no sun to give light, because he was in himself environed, so to speak, with the infinite light and splendor of his own understanding, and beauty of his own holiness, and so dwelling in an all fullness and self-sufficiency of blessedness, not only is he thus in the light, but he is a light to poor sinners, the most communicative being, that ceaseth not continually to send forth streamings of that light and life into dark and dead souls. And therefore he is not only light in himself,
but a son of righteousness, most beneficial in his influences, most impartial and free in his illumination, and so he is often called, my light and my salvation, our light, a light to me, Psalm 27:1, Micah 7:8, Isaiah 42:6 and 7. Now, it is this emission of light from him that first drives away that gross darkness that is over souls, for till then, in the darkness all was hid and covered, nothing seen, neither ourselves, nor God, neither the temper of our hearts, nor the course of our ways, nor the end they lead to. But it is the breaking in of a beam of that sun of righteousness that maketh any such discovery, as motes are not seen till the sun shine, though the house be full of them. In darkness there is nothing but confusion and disorder, and light only makes that disorder visible to the soul, to the affecting of the heart. Now, when, once the soul hath received that light, there is a desire kindled in the heart after more of it, as, when the eye hath once perceived the sweetness and pleasantness of the light, it opens itself and exposeth itself to a fuller reception of more. And so the soul that is once thus happily prevented by the first salutation and visit of that day spring from on high, while he is sitting in darkness, and in the shadow of death, Luke 1:78 and 79 afterwards follows after that light, and desires nothing more than to be embosomed with it. That tender preventing mercy so draws the heart after it, that it can never be at perfect rest till the night be wholly spent, and all the shadows of it removed, and the sun clearly up above the horizon, and that is the day of that clear vision of God's face. But in the meantime, this is the great ambition and endeavor of such an one, to walk in that light, and this is the very entertainment of that fellowship with God. He is already in the light, that is, to say, he is translated from a state of darkness to light, and endued with the living and saving knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. This is his state. He is in the light, one enlightened from above, having his eyes opened to discover the mystery of the iniquity of his own heart, and to see far off, to that bottomless pit of misery which his way would lead him to, one who hath by this divine illustration discovered eternal things, and seen things not seen, and withal, gotten some knowledge of salvation by the remission of sins. Now, such an one, being thus in the light, his duty is, and his infinite dignity besides, to walk in that light, that is, to lead all his life under that eternal light of God, which shines in the Word, and to bring it all forth in his view, to make our whole course a progressive motion towards heaven, wherein that glorious light shines most gloriously. It is almost all one with that of Paul's, to have our conversation in heaven. For, to walk in the light, is a kind of elevation of our actions, a raising them up to heaven, to that pure light, for after that and towards that is the soul's design. Now to express to you in what it consists, I desire not to branch it forth in many particulars, which rather distract the mind than affect the heart. Only you may know, it consists especially in the inward retirements of the soul to God, and the outward shining of that light in our conversation to others. These are the chief parts of it, borrowing from his light, and then lending and imparting it to others, by a holy conversation. Truly, we must needs conceive that the most lively and unmixed partaking of the light of God, and the sweetest society with him, is in the secret withdrawings of the soul from the world, and reposes upon God those little intervals, and, as it were, stolen hours of fellowship with God, that are taken from the multitude and throng of our business.
These are the fittest opportunities of the transforming the soul into his similitude, and of purifying it, as he is pure, of filling it with divine light and love, for then the heart lies, as it were, perpendicularly under his beams, and is open before him, to give admission and entry to this transforming light, and it is the shining of God's countenance then upon the soul that draws it most towards conformity with him,
and leaves an impression of light and love upon the soul.
Oh, that you were more acquainted with this application, so to speak, that is, sunning yourselves and warming in the sun, the exposing and opening of your hearts frequently in secret, before this sun of righteousness. Now this, if you were acquainted with it, would make your light so to shine before men, as your heavenly Father may be glorified, Matthew 5:16, and that is the walking in that light of God. This makes a Christian to come forth, as Moses from the mount, with his face shining. He comes out from the retired access to God, with a luster upon his carriage, that may beautify the gospel, and as one seth well with the tables of the law in both his hands, written in his practice, the light of the law shining in his life. And truly this is the Christian's diurnal motion in his lower sphere, wherein he carries about that light that is derived from the higher light.
In all his converse with men, it shines from him to the glorifying of him that is the Father of lights, walking righteously and soberly, without offense, doing good to all, especially the children of light, extending offices of love and benevolence to everyone, forbearing and forgiving offenses, not partaking with other men's sins, and, finally, declaring in word and deed, that we have communion with the fountain of pure light, and one day expect to be translated out of this lower orb, where we are so far distant from him, and fixed in the highest of all, where we may have the immediate, full, uninterrupted, and clearest aspect of his countenance, which shall then make the description that is here given of God communicable to us, that, as he is light, and in him is no darkness, so we, being fully and perfectly shined upon by him, may be light likewise, without any mixture of darkness, as here it is not. Now, my beloved in the Lord, this is that we are called unto, to walk thus in the light of obedience and sanctification, and that is the great thing you would learn to aspire unto, rather than to enjoy the light of consolation.
Indeed, I conceive, that which maketh many of us walk in darkness, as is spoken in Isaiah 1:10, that is, without comfort, peace, and joy, and without clear discerning our interest in God, is, because we walk in another darkness, that is, of sin and distance from God. The one darkness is introductive of the other, nay, they cannot be long without one another. The dark cloud of bold sinning, and careless and circumspect walking, that cannot but eclipse the light of consolation, and fill the soul with some horror, anguish, and confusion. Therefore, if you would walk in the light of joy and comfort, oh, take heed nothing be interposed between God and your souls. You must likewise walk in the light of his law, which is as a lamp to the feet, and this light, as the ray, begets that light of comfort, as the splendor, which is the second light of the Sunday. I know it is a disconsolate and sad condition, to walk without the light of the knowledge of our interest in God, but I would earnestly recommend unto you two things to support you, and help you in that. One is, that you do not give over the chief point of this society with God, that is, walking in the light of his law and commandments, but that you do the more seriously address yourself to the one, that you want the other. Certainly, it ought to be no hindrance of your obedience, and patient continuing in obedience, that you know not your own interest, and that his countenance shines not so upon you. You know, that sweet resolution, I will wait upon the Lord, who hides his face, and see. Isaiah 8:17 and Micah 7:7. And his own command, Isaiah 1:10 and Hosea 12:6. Ye that walk in such darkness, nevertheless, stay upon God. Truly, there could be no greater evidence of thy interest than this, to give patient attendance upon him in the ways of obedience, till he shine forth. This would in due time bring forth thy righteousness as the light, if we would not subtract and withdraw ourselves from under the light, because it is presently overclouded. Then, moreover, you would know that all this, while that your interest in Christ lies dark and under a cloud, you would then be most in the application of that blood to your souls, most in trusting and staying upon the name of God, and His absolute promises. Suppose thou do not, as yet know, that He is thine, yet dost thou not know, that He is made thine by believing in Him? And therefore, while it is inevident that it is already, thou oughtest so much the more to labor, that what is not may be. Now, if thou canst not apply Him to thy soul, as thine own possession, yet thou mayest, and so much the more oughtest to apply thy soul to Him, and resign and offer thyself to Him, as willing to be His possession, to be His, and no more thine own. In a word, when thine own experimental feeling of the work of God's Spirit fails within thee, then so much the more insist, and dwell upon the meditation and belief of the general promises, which are the proper object of faith, and not of sense. As our own interest is the proper object of sense, and not of faith, therefore the defect in the one needs not redound upon the other. To sum up all in one word, if thou thinkest that thou hast not yet believed in Christ, and hast no interest in Him, I will not dispute with thee, to persuade thee thou art mistaken, for all this debate would be in the dark, because thou art in darkness. But one thing I would say unto thee, labor to do that which thou wouldest do, which thou must do, if such a case were granted. Suppose it were so, that thou had no interest in Him, what wouldst thou do then? I am sure thou wouldst say, I would labor by any means to have Him mine. Why then thou knowest that cannot be before believing, and receiving Him on His promises, and not at all but by believing. Therefore, since that this is it you must at length turn unto, suppose the case were decided, why do you not presently, rather without more wearying yourselves in the greatness of your way, turn in thither, as to a place of refuge without further disputing in the business, and so by believing in Christ and waiting upon Him in His ways, you shall put that out of question, which debating would make an endless question. The Lord make you wise to know the things that belong to your peace. Sermon 15. 1 John 1 7th In the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? As darkness cannot have fellowship with light, till it be changed into some conformity to the light, even so there can neither be any fellowship in walking, nor conformity in nature, between God and us who are enemies to Him by nature, unless there be some agreement and reconciliation of the difference. Now, here is that which maketh the atonement, the blood of Jesus His Son cleanseth us from all sin. This is it that takes away the difference between God and men, and makes reconciliation for us. This blood hath quenched the flame of indignation and wrath kindled in heaven against us. And this alone can quench and extinguish the flames and furies of the tormented soul, that is burned up with the apprehension of His anger. All other things thou canst apply or cast upon them will be, as oil to increase them, whether it be to cool thyself in the shadows of the world's delights, such a poor shift, as the rich glutton would have taken in hell. Those drops of cold water that thou canst distill out of the creature will never give any solid ease to thy conscience. Thou mayest abate the fury of it, or put it off for a season. Thou who art afraid of hell and wrath, mayest procure some short vacancy from those terrors by turning to the world, but certainly they will recur again, and break out in a greater fire like a fever that is not diminished, but increased by much drinking cold water.
Or, if thou go about to refresh thyself and satisfy thy challenges by thy own attainments in religion, and by reflection upon thy own heart and ways, finding something in thy esteem that may counterbalance thy evils, and so give thee some confidence of God's favor, those, I say, are but deceitful things, and will never either quench the displeasure of God for thy sins, but rather add fuel to it, because thou justifiest thyself, which is an abomination before him.
Nor yet will it totally extinguish and put to silence the clamors of thy conscience, but, that someday thou shalt be spoiled of all that self-confidence and self-defense, and find thyself so much the more displeasing to God, that thou didst please thyself and undertake to pacify him.
Therefore, my beloved, let me, above all things, recommend this unto you as the prime foundation of all religion, upon which all our peace with God, pardon of sin, and fellowship with God must be built, that the blood of Jesus Christ be applied unto your consciences by believing, and that, first of all, upon the discovery of your enmity with God, and infinite distance from him, you apply your hearts unto this blood, which is the atonement to the reconciling sacrifice, which alone hath virtue and power with God.
Do not imagine that any peace can be without this. Would ye walk with God, which is a badge of agreement? Would ye have fellowship with God, which is a fruit of reconciliation? Would ye have pardon of sins, and the particular knowledge of it, which is the greatest effect of favor, and all this, without and before application of Christ, who is our peace, in whom only the Father is well pleased? Will ye seek these, and yet depute this point of believing, as if it were possible to attain these without the sprinkling of that blood on the heart, which indeed cleanseth it from an evil accusing conscience? If you desire to walk in the light, as he is in the light, why weary ye yourselves in thy ways? Why take ye such a compass of endless and fruitless agitation, and perplexity of mind, and will not rather come straightway at it, by the door of Jesus Christ? For he is the new and living way into which you must enter, if you would walk in the light. And the wounds of his side, out of which this blood gushed, these open you a way of access to him, because he was pierced for us. That stream of blood, if ye come to it and follow it all along, it will certainly carry you to the sea of light and love, where you have fellowship with God. And, oh, how much comfort is in it, that there is such a stream running all the way of our walking with God, all the way of our fellowship. That fountain of Christ's blood runs not dry but runs along with the believer, for the cleansing of his after pollutions, of his defilements, even in the very light itself. This, then, as it is the first foundation of peace and communion with God, so it is the perpetual assurance and confirmation of it, that which first gives boldness, and that alone which still continues boldness in it. It is the first ground, and the constant warrant and security of it, without which it would be, as soon dissolved, as made. If that blood did not run along all this way, to wash all his steps, if the way of light and fellowship with God were not watered and refreshed with the continual current of this blood, certainly none could walk in it without being consumed. Therefore it is, that the mercy of God, and riches of grace in Christ, hath provided this blood for us, both to cleanse the sins of ignorance before believing, and the sins of light after believing, that a poor sinner may constantly go on his way, and not be broken off from God by his infirmities and escapes in the way. You see, then, the gospel runs in these two golden streams, pardon of sin, and purity of walking. They run indivisibly, all along in one channel, yet without confusion one with another, as it is reported of some great rivers that run together between the same banks, and yet retain distinct colors and natures all the way, till they part. But these streams that glad the city of God never part one from another. The cleansing blood and the purifying light, these are the entire and perfect sum of the gospel. Purification from sin, the guilt of sin, and the purity of walking in the light flowing from that, make up the full complexion of Christianity, which are so nearly conjoined together, that, if they be divided they cease to be, and cannot any of them subsist, save in men's deluded imagination. The end of washing in the blood of Christ is that we may come to this light and have fellowship with it. For the darkness of hell, the utter darkness of the curse of God, which overspreads the unbelieving soul and eclipses all the light of God's countenance from him, that dark and thick cloud of guiltiness, that heap of unrenewed conversation, this, I say, must be removed by the cleansing of the blood of Christ, and then the soul is admitted to enjoy that light and walk in it. And it is removed chiefly for this end, that there may be no impediment in the way of this fellowship. This blood cleanseth, that you, being cleansed, may henceforth walk in purity, and there is no purity like that of the light of God's countenance and commands. And so you are washed in the blood of Christ, that you may walk in the light of God, and take heed that you defile not your garments again.
But if so be, and certainly it will be, considering our weakness, that you defile yourselves again, like foolish children who, after they have washed, run to the puddle again, forgetting that they were cleansed, if either your daily infirmities trouble, or some grosser pollution defile and waste your conscience, know that this blood runs all along in the same channel of your obligation to holy walking, and is as sufficient now as ever to cleanse you from all sin, from sins of daily incursion, and sins of a grosser nature. There is no exception in that blood, let there be none in your application to it and apprehension of it. Now, this is not to give boldness to any man to sin, or continue in sin, because of the lengthened use and continued virtue and efficacy of the blood of Christ, for, if any man draw such a result from it, and improve it to the advantage of his flesh, he declares himself to have no portion in it, never to have been washed by it. For what soul can in sobriety look upon that blood shed by the Son of God, to take away the sins of the world, and find an emboldening to sin from that view? Who can wash and cleanse here, and presently think of defilement, but with indignation,